Accession number 30631, Mr. Herbert Landsberg, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about when you'd got to Hudham Castle with 249 Company. Now, you were a sergeant by then again, weren't you?
Yeah.
And what were you doing there at Hudham Castle?
Oh, it was mainly basically training younger people and route marchers, rifle training. We were on the rifle range practically every day, and handling of weapons, cleaning, of course, was a big, not attraction, I would say, a big, it took hours sometimes to clean the weapon we'd been using on the range.
So it's just a period of training, routine duties.
Yes, absolutely.
And all at Hudham Castle?
Yes.
You weren't moving?
It was, we moved from Hudham Castle to New Mills. And
same area then? It's in the same area?
Same area. That's also New Mills, is also Scotland, because the family I was billeted with, well, I was not in barracks for some reason or other, I was billeted with an English, Scottish family. They had a boy of about 8 or 9, slightly retarded, and I brought home sometimes a few rations from the cookhouse that had been not been used, and I got quite friendly with him. And this boy, still now, 6 years later, rings us regularly. Yesterday, he spoke to my wife, and he must be now in his 70s. And he's still working for the local council part-time.
So you got on really well with the family?
Very well. We got on with the Scots better than with the Southern English.
Now, anything else happening? You're just training, I understand that. Yeah. Anything happened while you're there? Any incidents, you know?
Now, let me see. Yes, I had applied to be a glider pilot.
Now, tell me about that.
And it all went well.
And I mean, why had you done that?
I wanted to be a glider pilot, and all went well until I had a medical, and it turned out that as I was short-sighted, they would not accept a glider pilot who wears glasses.
That was to join the glider pilot regiment, I think.
Yes, yes.
So they wouldn't have you?
No.
And what else happened? Any other?
Well, my wife came up. She was my girlfriend then, because we got married in 1945. She came up all the way from, she works in North Middlesex Hospital in Edmonton, and she came up to Scotland, and she stayed with this family where I was billeted as well. And they took her to heart, to their hearts. They really spoiled her. But she could only stay a few days. She only had 5 days leave. And it was quite a horrendous journey for her, for coming from London during wartime, with bombing raids going on all the time. And but they made quite a fuss of her. Mr. and Mrs. Begg, her name was. And the boy was, by that time, was about, I think, 8 or 9 or 10 or something like this. And she helped him a bit with his homework and things like that. It was quite a friendly atmosphere in Scotland.
So what next? How long were you there for? You'd gone there in, what, 43 to, you know... You're there till D-Day. I mean, are you still with 249 Company when D-Day comes, or had you because you eventually transfer to the psychological warfare branch, don't you?
That's right.
Now, when is that, before D-Day or after D-Day?
Now, let me see. I was still D-Day, well, I was still in the Pioneer Corps on the 6th of June.
And were you still up at New Mills?
Yes. It was Company, 249 Company, Pioneer Corps.
And where did you move from? Where did you go to after New Mills then?
And then from New Mills we were sent down to the South Coast.
Whereabouts?
Near Lewis, L-E-W-E-S, Lewis. And on the 6th of June we were on our way to France the second time.
Now, hang on. So what were you doing? When you got to the Lewis area,
oh yes,
what were you doing there?
We were doing defence work, air raid shelter building, still with Pioneer Corps. And
you were building air raid shelters?
Air raid shelters.
Who for? What?
For the local population in their gardens and things like that. And at the same time we had weapon training and map reading again, to keep us up to scratch there.
And what were you going to do on D-Day? Tell us about, what were the plans for your unit on D-Day? 249 Company.
We landed on...
What were you going to do? Why did you go over so early?
We were in army barracks in the town of Lewis, and then one morning we were put into ships and landed in France at Romanche.
But was that on D-Day or was that or just a bit later?
D plus two.
Yeah, that makes more sense, yeah. Now, what do you remember what do you remember about the crossing?
Well, it was quite a horrendous experience because the Germans had buried a lot of underwater obstacles, so at high tide you could never see them, and we were lucky that the small boats which they used us to land us, I forget the name of these, they were not.
But you were landing on D plus two, so that would be about the 8th of June?
Yes. Wait a minute. 6th of June was D-Day itself. It was about the 8th of June. And after landing, we went straight...
What was the scene on the beach when you landed? What could you see? What was happening?
There were lots of things which had hit the Germans, who had not expected us there, but they got troops down there very quickly after they heard of this landing. And so the beach was littered with transport vehicles which had been hit by German fire, and lots of first aid chaps who took the wounded back to the ships, and to a field hospital which had been established, and then we moved inland very quickly.
And what were you doing when you moved inland?
Well, we had to fight most of the way. There was no question of using our saws or pickaxes and things like that, and the Germans had already realized, that there was landing going on, not only at Aumarsh, but the Americans on Omaha Beach, as they called it, and other beaches. And so the defenses of the Germans were fairly thin, so we made good progress. And we got to France proper, to Paris.
Because there's about a 2-month hold-up in the bridgehead. Do you not remember that?
Ben?
There's a 2-month hold up before. I mean, the breakout's in August, early August.
Yes, no, it was.
The capture of Paris in August, I can't remember when.
No, I can't remember very well.
I just wondered what you were doing, what your unit was doing within the bridgehead before the breakout. Yes. Because it's a big bridgehead, I understand, you know.
Yes.
Or do you not remember too much?
We had to make sure that our ammunition trucks got ashore as well, you know, as well as the men. And
were you working in the beach area then? I just don't know what your unit was doing.
We were attached to a Royal Engineer Company, and they were establishing diesel or petrol depots, but we weren't asked to build them. It was just at night they were covered with tarpaulins, and there was no question of staying there long. And they had an enormous lot of transport arranged for to be unloaded as well.
Now, were you helping with the unloading,
yes,
or what?
Yes,
were you from the boats?
Yes.
And what was that like? What do you remember of that?
Oh, it was pretty hard work, and the anti-aircraft gunners were doing wonderful jobs keeping the German from flying low, and the RAF too, of course, were doing wonderful work too for those who were flying high and took no notice of the landing. They were intended to get into over in England.
So there's a period while you're in the beach area assisting with this, and then what do you do? Then you start moving in
yes.
August.
We moved, well, that was June, and I would say we made a camp every 40 to 60 miles inland.
This is during the advance in August?
Yes.
And so what were you doing, making the camps or what?
And
because you weren't a frontline fighting unit, were you?
No.
So what were you doing? Do you not remember? It's fair enough. I mean, it's a long time ago.
I'm just trying to.
It's all missed out in your memoirs as well. This three or four pages. So I just wonder whether you just don't remember this bit, you know.
Mm. I have to refresh my memory then. I know that we slept in tents, and during the day it was mainly guard duty.
Guard duties on what though?
Yes, of any supplies that were intended to be shipped on or moved on to the front. And see that they got safely over the nearest obstacles, because the Germans had built obstacles every few miles inland.
So what's the next thing you do remember then? Let's not worry about the bits you don't remember, if you see what I mean. What,
yes.
What do you remember next?
Yes, I think it was loading and unloading a lot. You know, sometimes it was found that the wheel traffic couldn't get on, but we had caterpillar traffic wagons as well. We had to move from the wheel traffic, conveyances onto the more suitable caterpillar ones. That took most of the day, really, for weeks. And that included ammunition as well as fuel as well as food.
So that you were generally assisting with supply,
yes.
Guarding things,
yes.
and transferring things from vehicle
that's
to vehicle.
Right.
Now, were you attacked at all? I mean, did you have any air raids?
Oh, yes. Air raids were Not in such large numbers as we were on the beach at Dunkirk, but small squadrons flew overhead and obviously had orders to drop and scatter bombs on anything that looked like British or French, no, not French, but at, British or American forces.
So what do you remember about the advance then? You're moving forward. What happens next? You went to Paris, you said.
Yes, then...
What happened at Paris? You actually entered Paris, did you?
Yes, in Paris, and strangely enough, we thought we would be probably not received with great joy, because... the Germans had not declared it an open city, but they had not invited the bombing of Paris, so there was not a very great number of German troops stationed there. But we were attached, I think, to an infantry regiment, and going from house to house and looking for snipers and things like that. Then we were given time off, as you can see there, at the Arc of Triumph.
You were actually on a sniper clearance, you and the infantry. What do you remember about that?
Well,
I mean, how do you go about clearing snipers?
We asked local people, you know, the ones who could speak French, local people, if they knew of any Germans hidden in various places, including churches and so on. And then we had to whittle them out.
Did you actually find any?
Yes, oh yes. And some came out quite happily, knowing that war for them was over, but some were devious, especially the members of the SS Waffen Regiment, who would come out and fighting. And not surrender, and just knowing that in the end it was their lot anyway.
Well, now you were talking about the French. How did the French react when you arrived? Because you didn't quite finish that.
The streets were lined with cheering people. But whether it was a genuine joy or not, we weren't sure at the time, because we knew that the war had not touched Paris much, while the Germans were winning.
But to all intents, it looked sincere.
Yes.
And do you think it was sincere in retrospect? Or
I think it was. The younger ones especially, because they hoped that their men would come back from the prisoner of war camps, you know, in Germany, as soon as the war had really gone against them.
Now, you got given leave in Paris, did you? What do you remember about that? What did you do in Paris?
Yes.
Because you lived there once.
I was able to visit or to see where my relations were. We had a large number. My mother's brother had emigrated, you know, to France in 1913 and had established a family there, and but they were not there. Half of them had been taken to Drancy, the French concentration camp, and handed to the Germans, and the other half had been hidden in the countryside by the friends who lived, and one by the Nunu, the wet nurse of the of Elian, my cousin, and
so it was about half survived, half were lost.
Yes.
What did anything else you did as you leave? Well, you went to the Arc de Triomphe.
Yes, we didn't get a lot of leave. You have had perhaps 2 days now and then, and then we moved very quickly.
Now you're still in 93 company.
Yes, I'm just trying to remember when I was transferred to.
It doesn't say here, you see.
Pen?
It doesn't say in your notes.
No.
When do you think it was?
By the time we reached the Rhine, I must have been, because the driver was sick of that armored car that we were given. You know, that crew that was given here, these four here. And I had to drive it over the pontoon bridge.
Right.
And it nearly got into the river and got a lot of abuse of the chaps that
had
I
had. You been
up
in it long,
that
then?
That was not very long.
So you joined, what, February? Because I think that's March, the crossing of the Rhine, 44. So when do you think you'd left 93 company?
Well, we landed on the 6th of June, 44. And we were in the Ardennes.
December.
In December.
Now, was that winter. Was that with 93 company?
That was still 93 company.
Okay, so we'll follow through the story. So after Paris, what happened then?
And must have been on the way from Paris to the Rhine. And let's see. Taken
after Paris, yeah.
After we got out of the Ardennes, taken back to Brussels.
No, we haven't done the Ardennes yet. I mean, and the Ardennes is quite late. That's
yes,
December.
That was in December.
So between Paris and then, there's 4 months. Do you know what you were doing in that 4 months?
Oh, it was very slow progress. We were doing a lot of loading and unloading of trucks, trains, and things like that. And also, of course, wheedling out the odd.
And where were you? In Belgium or Holland or where?
We were at Antwerp unloading ships. I remember that vividly because suddenly there was a peculiar noise of high-pitched noise, and by the time we got out of the shelter where we'd been sheltering, there was a huge hole in the ground, and we were told later that it was one of the latest secret weapons of the Germans, one of those rockets.
Or V2.
V2.
So not the doodlebug, but the one that you couldn't.
Yes, and that was Antwerp.
And what do you remember about the unloading the ships? What kind of cargoes were you unloading?
We were unloading mainly ammunition at Antwerp, and ammunition and other stores, but not food. Food was we got that a lot of it locally. The French. That was what puzzled us when we got to Brussels, for instance, which had been under German.
That would be before that.
They got cream, chocolate, sweets and things like that, which in England we hadn't seen or heard for 4 years. And there, this country, which was occupied by a very rough and ready type of German commander, had such wonderful foods there.
That's in Belgium.
Belgium.
So they had, as far as you're concerned, far more luxury foods than you were anticipating.
Absolutely. Yes.
Was it just chocolates or was it other things?
Oh, no, everything. Food, meat and everything that to us coming from England was luxury that was available there.
Now, how did you get on with the Belgian civilians?
Oh, right. They had stories of atrocities by the Germans ready for us, but we were not sure if they were not making them up to get sympathy or whether it was true. Then
so anything else happened in Antwerp?
It was mainly working in the docks. In fact, entirely working in the docks. And
were you there a long time?
Quite a while, yes.
And then would it be the Ardennes?
And then we moved on to the Ardennes. And then suddenly, we were lucky enough. We were attached to a Canadian-Australian logging company, helping them.
Was it Canadian or Australian or both, if you see what I mean?
No, one or the other, I'm not sure. Mary might remember.
It would probably be Canadian if it was logging.
Yes. And
so what were you doing with them?
We were helping them in their sawmills. It was very hard work.
Now, what was it like in the sawmills? What exactly were you doing in there?
Well, they didn't think much of us because they were all huge six-footers and used to hard work and carrying whole tree trunks and things like that. And to us it was a new type of work, most of us. And we didn't come up to their standard. They didn't think much of us. But when it came to the crunch, retreating, the officers said, well, you have our transport because...
Now, hang on. So you were working in the sawmill. Now, what were you actually doing in the sawmills as a sergeant? Were you just supervising or were you actually working?
Oh, yes, we were sergeant or corporals and everybody had to muck in and work. Do physically.
Were you actually chopping the trees down or just carrying them all with the Canadians?
No, mainly not carrying so much, but loading them onto horse-drawn traffic and moving them from the woods to the sawmills.
Now, what happened when the German offensive struck, which is either just before Christmas in December?
When they came through.
Now, what happened for you? How far behind the front line were you?
Well, the officers called us all in and said, well, you've got no transport here, but the Germans will be here within hours. And we have had a council of officers, and we decided that if we get caught by them, we would go into a prisoner of war camp. But if you lot get caught, you'll be either shot right away or sent to concentration camps. And so we've decided you can have our transport to Brussels, but send it back to us if you can.
So the officers stayed behind. They stayed where they were. And,
and their men, the Canadian or the Australians, stayed behind. And then suddenly the Germans didn't reach the sawmill at all. We were already in Brussels. And we heard they were perfectly safe because the Germans had run out of petrol and the RAF had not bombed their troops but the petrol supply depots. And so that they were unable, and no ammunition had fired their last from their tanks. They had 300 tanks evidently in the woods there on the way to that, in that so-called Battle of the Bulge.
How did you feel that they were willing to let you go first? Because that's quite thoughtful of the Canadians, yes, whatever they were, Canadians and the officers.
It was actually
officers.
Wonderful. We had a big meeting after the war and sent a special delegation to the war high command of their troops in London and to thank them for that and all this. It was unbelievable, because they didn't think much of us as workers. We were, compared with them, we were dwarfs and pretty useless.